All right, we are on a change series. This is the last night of the series, and if you all missed it, oh, you missed a treat. But praise God, I believe Pastor Mark has taped each one of them. So if, you know, I would suggest you get the series. I don't know if we're going to sell them like a pack or what, but
yes.
I would suggest it. And I want to give honor to Pastor Rachel. She's a woman of God that the Lord introduced me to. And she's just a great friend. We met by a weird opportunity kind of thing, and she'll be in my heart forever. So God bless you, Pastor Rachel. The process of change is the message for tonight, because we've been talking about change, and the very first thing we had to do was divorce our flesh. And if you ever been divorced from anything, you know, that's hard. You know, it's sad, you missed what you divorced, and you know, you had to turn your back on a whole lot of things, and that's really, really hard. But to take those things that are hindering where God wants to take you and divorce them, I mean, it's been so sad for me to say goodbye to TV. And that was just my personal thing that the Lord is telling me, you know, that, hey, I need more of your time. It's not that everyone is supposed to not watch TV, but that's what my requirement was, so I can get more personal time with the King. Amen?
All right.
All right. We're going to start tonight by reading the book of Joshua, chapter 1 through 9. And if you all don't know, that the Lord declared that this was a year of victory.
Yeah.
And he gave us specific instructions that in order to have victory in this year, he was going to give us a set of instructions and guides and rules. And at the end of the year, if we didn't have victory, it was because we did something wrong, not because the Lord declared something incorrect.
Amen? All right.
So every word is so vital to our growth and to our development and for us having victory. Everyone in the book of Joshua?
Amen.
Joshua 1. God's commission to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the soles of your feet will tread upon, I have given you as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What a wonderful promise,
Amen.
Right? That's a great promise. But my Lord, what did it take to get there?
Mm.
And that's what we're going to explore tonight. Because the Bible is full of great promises. But there's a set of instructions. There's things that happen before you can get to that promise. And the Bible, it tells us to make sure we obey everything what God is telling us to do in order to capture the promise and on to victory. Okay. But a lot of times we have promises over our life, but we don't have victory in those areas because we forgot a few details.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
And so those details are very important.
Yes.
And he told them twice, make sure you do all that I'm telling you to do.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go down a list real fast of the process that it took the children of Israel from slave all the way to victory, amen?
Okay.
Because a lot of us, sometimes we have slave mentalities going on. We are just kind of born into it, you know?
Yeah.
I grew up on 124th and Superior. Yeah, that wasn't a rich area. So I was born into food stamps. slave mentality, amen?
Amen.
I was born getting the government cheese. I was born into this thing. So to have a richer mentality or a mentality of wealth or victory, I didn't see a lot of that around where I grew up.
Right.
Maybe you guys did, but I didn't.
Right.
It was hard. We had hard times. We had beans and rice sometimes. So I grew up in a slave type of mentality. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so that's where the children of Israel started. They had an evil taskmaster, and they wanted out. They started crying out. So when you're in a slave mentality, you start crying out when you've just had enough.
Yeah.
You ever been in a situation just enough was enough?
Yeah.
You start like, Lord, help me. I've got to get out of this.
Yeah.
And that's what they started to do. And they cried so loud as a people, God heard them. They said, okay, I'm going to send you a deliverer. You all crying out? I'm going to send you someone. So they sent Moses. They sent a man after God's own heart to come and deal with what was going on. Now, you know, he had a stuttering issue. You know, he had some imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
So the deliverer who God sends you probably will have some imperfections if you're crying out for a situation.
All
amen?
Right. All right.
But you got to know the man's heart.
Amen.
For the people and the assignment on the man's life. Well, let's just call Pastor Mark the Moses. For now, for illustration purposes, right?
Amen.
He's a pastor's pastor. Now to help 3 million people go from slave through the wilderness into freedom, he must love people. It might be even hard for you to deal with the people in your own house.
Yes.
But to deal with all those people, he had a really big heart, a heart after God, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So after they cried out for their freedom, they were released. Some God has released you from some things. You know, some things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. You know, he kind of released me from, I'm not held bondage to those things. After I cried out, he sent me a set of instructions through a man, through wisdom, through the word of God was my biggest set of instructions, applying that word. And off we went, right into the wilderness.
All right.
That's where they went.
Into
the dry place.
Mm.
Just, well, okay, I'm free, now what? Mm. Is what the big question is. And in this church, what does Pastor Mark say? God will spend the rest of
your
life getting you to your promise.
Yes.
And that's what they did with the children of Israel. So they escaped, they went in the wilderness. How many years were they in that place?
40.
40 years, that's a long time to be in a
dry
place. Well, I pray that I'm not in that dry place for 40 years.
Yeah.
Going around in a circle. I mean, come on, y'all. Like this. 5 years later. Didn't I just experience this 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been there?
Yes.
You think you're coming out? You're driving? It's kind of like men, you know, when they lost.
Amen.
It's true. And then you end up back in the same place, and you're like, well, what is going on? Can you imagine doing that for 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the one that keeps ending up in the same spot.
Yes.
So what is that going to take? That's
going
to take you heeding to what God is telling you to do to come out of that place. Disobedience will keep you in the wilderness. It will keep you there. If there's an area in your life that you're being disobedient in, rebellious in, I just don't want to do that, okay? Remember this? This is where you'll end up over and over and over
That's
again.
Good.
I don't want that. Okay, so let me just give you a few things of what happens in that wilderness so that right now if you find yourself in a place of the wilderness, you won't abort the process.
Correct.
It's a very good process when you understand what the wilderness is here to do in your life. It's a great thing. The wilderness is set up to give you instructions.
Mm.
That's where the children of Israel, they got the Ten Commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this. Not your parents. I mean, just a bunch of instructions. I'm sure being a slave, you know, they had a bunch of instructions and they didn't want any more.
That's right.
So they probably, you know, they were bucking the system a little bit. I've been there, done that.
Mm.
After doing this, I said, you know, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
They got direction for their lives. They were given the plan for their life. You learn about yourself in the wilderness. You learn how bad you can be. You learn how much you need God. Remember, there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. You learn to depend on God in the wilderness. You just are like, where are you, God? Without that cloud and without the fire, they didn't know where they were because they were in the wilderness. Amen? You learn that God is your protector in the wilderness. I mean, their shoes didn't wear out. No beast came and got them and ravished them or anything. Amen? God was their great protector in that place. Obedience is developed in the wilderness. All alone, that's where the obedience. When you're out with your friends and everyone's around, there's no obedience to that. You're having a good time. You're not thinking about anything, right?
Right.
So that lonely place, sometimes the wilderness, let's not say the lonely place, because the wilderness doesn't have to necessarily be lonely if you have the right perspective.
All right.
And we got to change in our mindset to go into victory. We can't have our old mindsets when God is taking you over here. Because if I still had a food stamp mindset, and I'm no offense to anyone, and God is telling me to be a leader, well, I might operate a little different on this side than he needs me to operate on this side. So from going from a little girl not having a lot to growing up and God giving me a lot of responsibility, something had to change in my mindset and the way that I did things.
Yeah.
Some things from my grandma I just couldn't take this way.
I had to let it go.
So I had to start to change my mind about how I deal with life and situations. Amen?
Amen.
Because if not, you all want me to walk in front of this? Okay. In the wilderness, you are tempted. The enemy tempts you a whole lot in the wilderness. Here's a good part. In the wilderness, you're anointed.
Yeah.
God anoints you. He puts his power on you and in you, and you start working for him. But you don't see it at that time because you just hate the wilderness.
Right.
You are broken in the wilderness. He breaks bad habits off of you in that place. Because of all the rules.
Yes.
Don't do this. He's telling me don't watch TV. That's my wilderness. Amen?
Amen.
In the wilderness, the main point I want you all to take away tonight, in the wilderness is where God wants you to change.
Amen.
We're in the wilderness. As a ministry, we are in the wilderness. God has incredible promises about this ministry. We know what they are, but we're in the wilderness.
Yeah.
He's given us so much instruction over the last year.
Mm.
I mean, every time Pastor Mark gets up here, I'm like, what the heck? Come on. You know, he wants us to be integral. He's asking us to watch our friends.
Yeah.
As we heard with Elder Keisha on Sunday, she's talking about looking at your inner circle and who's all around you, because where God is taking you, those people might not necessarily understand, or they can't go with you.
That's right.
They'll hold you back. Amen?
Amen.
Now we're going to look at Jesus' process in the wilderness.
Right.
What happened to him? So if you think, well, you know, Jesus didn't have to go to the wilderness. Oh, yes, he did. And how long was Jesus in the wilderness?
40 days.
Scott? 40 days. So his trip was a little quicker. Come on, B. Okay, I can last for 40 days.
Yeah.
40 years going around. I don't want to do that. But that is Jesus. He's our great measuring stick.
Yeah.
We're going to look at Luke chapter 4. Are you all getting something out of the wilderness?
Yeah, good work.
Yeah. Don't fight the wilderness process.
Amen.
Because if you fight it, you could die there. So many of God's people die in the wilderness, never receiving the promise of God.
Yeah.
Because they didn't go through this process correctly. They didn't understand the process, and they died right there. And the next generation rose up, and then God gave it to the next generation, as the Bible says. I want to be the generation who gets the promise that God ordained for my life. Luke chapter 4. Did I say 7?
Nope.
Oh.
You said 4.
I'm sorry. Satan tempts Jesus. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led them there. Mm. So when the children of Israel came out of captivity, God led them right on in. There you go. Go on in.
Yeah.
So when Jesus was in there, he was in there for 40 days. We're just going to turn. You don't have to turn over, but I just want to make that point that Jesus was there. But what happened to Jesus while he was in that wilderness process, denying himself so many things in that process? He came out in the full power of the Spirit dealing with the enemy.
Yeah.
So when you go into the wilderness, you get equipped for battle. You come out of the wilderness, now you deal with the enemy. You're anointed, you're appointed, you're built up. Now you go straight into the promise, but you have to fight. And that's why Joshua was appointed,
yeah,
because he was the next leader in line to help the children who was full of strength, who was equipped differently. All their bad habits were gone. They started walking toward that place of victory. So they had a new leader,
yeah,
but they were equipped differently. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
So Jesus, when he came out, I mean, he just fulfilled a great scripture. In verse 18, it says, this is what Jesus did. He walked in the synagogue. He took the book. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives,
yeah,
and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Yeah.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So he said, all right, I'm out the wilderness. Now I'm going to deal with the enemy in my life. And if we go through the wilderness properly, we'll come out on the other side dealing with what our promised land is, the enemy that's on your territory. And what does that mean? The battle is in your mind.
Yeah.
If God has put a great promise over your life, but you can't win that battle of your mind to go and obtain it, you'll stay in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never receive the promise. And that's what Joshua was there to do. I would kind of prototype myself kind of like a Joshua because I have a fighting spirit.
Yeah.
I have been oppressed for so long and I said no more, but I didn't understand that process of the wilderness.
Right.
God led me into the wilderness in 99. All the kids, me, my husband, we were in South Carolina. Bam, he set us down in the middle of nowhere, literally. There was one Walmart, and I didn't understand why would you bring us to this place? There was nothing there, you guys. It was the kids, me, and God. And, I mean, really, honestly, it was a military town, and that's all that was there. I didn't know anyone. But through that process, I learned to trust God. I learned that he cared for me. I learned that he can deal with whatever was going on in my life. I learned that he was Jehovah Jireh. I learned that he was a healer in that situation. I learned that the wilderness was what was making me the strong woman of God that you see before me. Not that things haven't hit me. But when you are equipped for battle, you deal with it a different way versus when you are in a different mentality. So the battle is in the mind. So my question to you all tonight is, what are you aiming for? What is the place that you need victory for in your life? Is it healing? Has something just totally tormented you time and time again?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something from your past? If you say something like, well, this has been in my family line.
All right.
That's something that's every generation, here it comes.
Yeah.
Well, who's going to stand up and fight against it in this generation?
Oh.
You have to have a fighting mentality,
yeah,
to deal with some of this,
yeah,
stuff. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, Joshua, he had Moses' spirit. The mantle was passed down. So he had all of what Moses had with the pastoral qualities and also with the fighting qualities. Because he was Joshua.
Yeah.
So he was mantled up to deal with it. Now he took the 3 million people into the next level of life. Amen?
Amen.
So how many of you need a Joshua? How many of you need a Moses in your world?
Yeah.
Maybe God has already given them to you and you're not listening.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. All
right.
You have to deal with yourself on that one. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to wise counsel. Your mind, I'm going to give you two different scenarios of a mindset based upon those attitudes that Elder Keisha was talking about Sunday. These are two great scenarios that we can all relate to. Gas prices and food prices.
All right.
An unrenewed mind, or one that doesn't have a winning mentality, might have a slave mentality, is, oh my God, gas prices are $3.85 a gallon. What am I going to do?
Come on.
I think I'm just going to have to work double time to make to figure out go from left to right. This is just too much. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm.
Come on.
The winning team, or the victorious team, is, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen?
Yeah.
That's a whole different mindset.
Yeah.
And he can do it. And he wants to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next one. If you grew up not having enough, and this is really serious, if you grew up never having what you needed, and you don't know God as a father in that wilderness process, when you get to maybe halfway in the wilderness, in or out, I don't know, even when you receive your promise, if you have some of those old mindsets hanging on, you'll start to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go back there. And you'll say, you know, we just don't have enough of what we need for this ministry.
All right.
You know, the lost and found, we don't have that many members, and we don't have what we need. You know, we're going to just have to just take out a bunch of loans, and maybe I'll just borrow from Elder Keisha what we need.
Yeah.
God has supplied all we needed. It may not look like much to you all, but every step of the way, am I lying, guys? God has supplied some big things for us in such a small amount of time.
Yes.
That's faith.
Yes.
That's a renewed mindset.
Yes.
I remember we had a First Lady April, we had a situation, and I'm like, girl, we got to pray, because, you know, we just don't have what we need to get this done, and, you know, we had to do this. We prayed, and God supplied.
Yes.
It was, what, the next day, or it was really quick. It was really fast. God will supply. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you're in the wilderness process and you don't know the Lord and you're getting to know him, I want to invite you to know the King tonight.
Yeah.
I want to invite you to meet the Master, the one who can take you through the wilderness, supply what you need, and take you through all the way to victory. The end of the story of Joshua is they won.
Yeah.
Amen.
They didn't just win. Everyone was terrified of them because God was with them.
Yes.
God showed himself. I mean, he stopped the sun one day for them to keep fighting.
Yeah.
That's how much God was with him. So if you are walking through this process called life and you don't feel like God is with you, we're going to pray for you tonight. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Because it's a hard road that you can talk. It's hard being a Christian.
Yes.
That's number one. I want you to know that.
Yes.
It really is a tough thing to be a Christian. But God can give us a winning mentality,
right,
a winning spirit,
yes, right,
one that can overcome. I've overcome because Jesus, he has put me in a position where I am an overcomer.
That's
not
right.
Because of me, but because of him.
Yes.
Right.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus doing all this. So if you are brokenhearted, if you are mentally oppressed, if you are sick in your body, you need victory tonight,
yes,
man.
Yes.
We need victory.
Yes.
So I want to pray with you all, if you would let me. If you need prayer. If not, I'll just kind of stand and linger over here. You can come talk to me after the service. But I'm a winner.
Amen.
I'm a survivor of a lot of different things, and I'm a winner. And God has done that for me. God said he will fight your battles.
Right.
Is it financial? God will fight your battles.
Right.
As long as you are following the instructions.
Right.
You do your part, he does his part.
Right.
That's how it works.
Amen.
If you go on your own way and do your own thing and all that, good luck with that. But if you get back up under the bosom of God and
right,
do it his way, he wrote the book. All you have to do is read it and follow it. And
right,
you will see great success.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But I grew up, okay, now I'm just going to get real with you, in the city of Cleveland. In the city of Cleveland, people do things their own way. There's a bunch of hard-headed folks in this town. I mean, honestly, this town just seems like it's just in a rebellious state because things have happened and gone on. But if we decide as the people of God to do it His way,
right,
we can start a revolution in this
yeah.
town.
Amen.
Yeah.
If we just, Lord, you just show up.
Yes.
You show up on our behalf. You
yes.
speak for us. You speak for the situation. People are watching you if you belong to the Lord anyway.
Right.
So when the Lord shows up with you because you're being obedient, it will cause people to love the Lord that you love because of your walk with Him. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I bless you all tonight. I pray that you never look at your wilderness situation the same again. I pray that you start to have an understanding of what the process is to pull all the things out of you that God is saying you can't take that into your promise. I need you to dump that attitude in your before you get to your promise. There's things you have to release, let go of. If
yes.
you lie a lot, I used to lie a lot. I'm just going to be real with you guys. I'm serious. That might seem funny, but growing up, I lied because I was scared.
Yes.
Because, you know, there was a bunch of mean folks and bad. I was a little kid, and they bullied me or whatever. And that was a defense mechanism that I built up in me. But I couldn't take that to my promise. God couldn't use me if I was a liar, amen?
Yeah.
Not to the ability that He wants to right now. So let's just raise our hands before the King right now. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for the great change in the wilderness that takes place, Father God. We just love you, Lord, and we just ask that each person that's represented here tonight, that your glory from heaven falls upon their life, that they learn to love you through the wilderness process, that they understand the wilderness process to the entirety, Father God, that they don't abort the wilderness process, and they come through, Father, mantled up with a Joshua-like spirit, Lord, and that will win and have victory in their lives. And the people that are around them, they will see the victory that you have caused them to have, and that they will be victorious, and that it will be contagious, Lord, a victorious, contagious spirit, Father, that it will sweep the people in their lives, and that it will boil over, and it will go to the top and be filled, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, in this season for a breakthrough on their lives, Lord. We thank you for a different mentality, Father. We thank you for instruction and direction in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Amen.
Well, it's offering time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Ayanna. We thank you for that great message.
Yes.
As you're preparing for your offering, I have just this great story to share with you guys. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. Before I share the story, let me just let everyone know there are three ways to sow into our ministry, with your tithes and offering, with your pastoral seed that goes directly to our pastor.